It was useless. One little clatter to the floor had broken my favorite color, and there was no fixing it. How desperately I'd clung to the tiny, needle-tip-sized point between my thumb and forefingers, relentlessly trying to use what remained of the fire truck red tint. But I always ended up scraping my nails, bending them against the page, pushing so hard to get the most of the broken piece before giving up in frustration and throwing it in the trash along with the shavings. I had to wait until my birthday before my parents bought me a new coloring set so I could use my favorite red again. I'm much more careful with my pencils now. They are my prized possession. That, and I worked hard to purchase them, so I intend to make them last as long as deemed acceptable. I don't want to stop drawing while the creative juices are flowing. Any distraction could make me lose her again. Staring at the page, I block out the bustling noises all around me and focus on the small details of the sketch. I make a few adjustments to the girl's cheekbones, highlighting them so that they appear more pronounced, then move on to her neckline, exaggerating the curves of her clavicles and the distinct dip between them. She's alone in the drawing, as she usually is when I think of her. I still haven't given her a name. I like the idea of remaining nameless, mysterious, known only by a vague feeling, mine alone, my mystery woman. I shuttle myself closer to the wall and lean back against the community college lockers as T slides down beside me, peering intrigued at my latest piece. "What are you going to call this one?" she asks as she takes an apple out of her backpack and sinks her teeth into it with gusto. A splatter of juice lands on my denim jeans. I resist the urge to wipe it away immediately. Instead, I let the sweet bead of juice sit on the surface of my pants until it gets absorbed into the fibers of the fabric. It will dry and become unnoticeable within a few minutes, but I'll know I'll have a part of tea with me for the rest of the day, and that's a comforting thought. I wonder what having this physical drawing in my possession does to me. It's the closest thing I can have to a photograph of this mystery woman. Constantly flipping between feeling comforted and paranoid, I want to believe that releasing her into the open and exposing her, even in drawing form, might release her hold on me somehow. That by drawing her out, making her real to others, then maybe she will stop taking over my thoughts. I haven't decided yet, I say as I turn the drawing around in my hands, observing it from different angles to see if I've got all the dimensions right. It's probably my most realistic portrait ever. I've managed to achieve the shading perfectly, finally satisfied with the outline. I grab my pencil case in search of the next graphite pencils. Alternating between the 4B and 6B, I begin to darken the edges of her eyes, making them pop off the page. The pencil does the work for me. I don't need to press hard to get the definition I want. Every strand of hair, every eyelash, is explicitly drawn. Very lifelike. I'm somewhat hesitant to go over this one with my eraser. I typically like to clean up a sketch from all the initial composition, removing any obvious standard shapes used to draw people in accurate proportions. But something about this image makes me want to leave it messy and untamed. Almost like there's a layer of scratches or dust over the sketch. Grain over film. In most sketches, it would take away from the beauty I'm trying to capture in a portrait, but the imperfections seem to work in the sketch's favor this time. I will just have to trust my gut on this one. I will leave the original sketch mark so that every layer of the drawing process can be seen, if you know where to look for it. Nothing hidden. A mystery woman that has no secrets. It's very artistic of me to have even thought of this. The extra dimension and meaning makes it even better. A sense of pride fills me as I move my clipboard towards T so she can examine the drawing more closely.
"Damn, Laurel, this chick is badass,"
she remarks, her eyebrows arched in surprise, clearly impressed. I laugh and take the clipboard from her. "Thanks, I guess. Actually, I've been having a recurring nightmare of this chick," I say with a sideways glance to gauge her reaction. She kind of scares the living crap out of me, I say with a small laugh, in case she doesn't take me seriously. She knows me too well to make me feel embarrassed by my revelation. I don't need to worry about saving face with her. We stay seated in silence for a moment, both staring at the drawing